Good morning. It's past we staff Daf Lamed Zayin, fourth parak in Maseches Nedarim. So let's see. The sugya starts the two dots on Lamed Vav on the base. The Mishnah says that Amud Hanu Mechaveiray is Melam De Medrash Shalochas Vagodos Avoloi Lamdenam Mikra. The Mishnah makes a difference what he may teach him. He could teach him. Zok the Mishnah, Medrash, Halochis, and Agodis, but Mikra not. Zok the Gemara, in understanding what's the difference. Let's hear the Gemara. Zok the Gemara, Mikra my time aloy, loy lam denu. What's the reason why by Mikra you can't? Shum to come a hani lay. Well, I bazai, Medrash nami come a hani lay. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us what the Hano that the Gemara is assuming is here. Let's see in the Ran. What does the Ran say? So the Ran, Mikra my time aloy lam denim mishum to come ahani lay kishainai noitel mimenos ha. So the Ran tells us right away that the Gemara understands that the Ikra limit itself is not a Hano. Alright? That wasn't what the Gemara was asking, right? The Gemara is saying, well, I mean, if it's a problem by Mikra, it must be that the issue was the schar involved. So if that's what the problem is, so what's the difference what you're teaching him? There's always schar involved, the chayda. Now, as far as the actual limit itself, the Ran a little bit later tells us about that. Remember the Ran over here? If you look at the Ran on Lamed Zayin Omer Aleph, there's that first Ran on Lamed Zayin Omer Aleph, at the very end of the Ran, so the Ran ends off over there, and he says that when there's no schar involved, do you see where that is?
Limud Gufin.
Right, the Ran says Hilchah Kimalamda in Medrash Bechinim Loi Mahanilev Loi Midi the Agar Loi Mechayev Loi. Oh, so he says these words right. Velime Gufei Nami Lav Hanohu the Mitzvahs Lav Lehonus Nitnitnu. Right, that the Ran says over there he addresses the actual limud itself. The limud is also Mitzvahs Lav Lehonus Nitnu. Now, let's just touch on this for a moment. When we talk about Mitzvahs Lav Lehonus Nitnu, so we know that Ran already told us that Mitzvahs Lav Lehonus Nitnu refer to when there's not a physical Hano involved. If there's a physical Hano involved in the Mitzvahs, that the Mitzvahs Lav Lehonus Nitnu is not addressing. The mitzvah Lav Lehonus Nitnu is addressing Pashas, it means the Kiyum HaMitzvah. The Kiyum HaMitzvah, or the fulfilling of the mitzvah, is not Nechshav HaHano. Right? That itself might need an explanation of what that means, right? Rashi says that mitzvahs weren't given for Hano, they were given as an obligation. That in itself might still need some explanation. But right now we want to just talk about what it addresses. And what we just want to raise a question is like this, is that in Limut, so true, there's a mitzvah of Limut HaTorah, right? Numerous mitzvahs involved. But l'chayra, even aside from the kima mitzvah, but there's a difference between limud haTorah and, let's say, for example, letilas lulav, right? I don't think anyone has any other pleasure, any hano from shaking the lulav other than the kima hamitzvah, right? But in Limud HaTorah, there's an issue from Knias Chochma, right? The Chochma, the wisdom of the Torah itself, and each person according to his level, how he appreciates that. Right, so the mitzvahs lav lahanis nitnu. Now, even if he were to say like that, like this firm talk about that the hanoh that one has from leaving atari is not something which is separate from the mitzvah, but that is all part of the mitzvah, and it doesn't take away from the mitzvah. On the contrary, the pleasure that a person has from limud haTorah, that's all accepted. But one might still ask is that any different than a chayis hanoh someone might have from being mitar himself, or you know that he gets cooled off from the water wherever it is, that there's a hanoh involved in that. And so why wouldn't that itself be considered a hanoh? It would seem like anything which is part of the mitzvah, right? Even this tankana hanoh is also, you know, as long as the mitzvah is obligating to do that, right? Maybe one might ask the question also by achilas matzah, right? You know, mitzvahs lav lahanis nitnu, but I'm getting a hanoh from eating the matzah, right? Know, if that's all part of the mitzvah, it would seem to that that's all b'chlal halacha mitzvah lahanis nitnu. You know, if the mitzvah, certain things which might need the mitzvah, and you know, let's say that example of a mikvah, where it talks about, I mean, that mitzvah is really to, you know, what's involved is the tayrish shaboy, right? That's really what it is. It's just. This is just the way to do that. So hanoh, which comes along with that, one is not mitzvah. But you see from over here that it would seem to be that any hanoh which is actually part of the mitzvah also goes into, and is this that you're getting that hanoh is all because of the mitzvah. So just like the kiyum mitzvah itself has no hanoh, but hanoh, even a physical hanoh which the mitzvah requires one to have. Mm-hmm. That goes into the din of mitzvah. It's not a personal thing. It's the mitzvah itself is requiring that. Okay, that's just a ha'orah on that side of things. But in the cheshbon of the Gemara by us, right? That's why in the sugi over here, the limud itself is not part of the equation over here, like the Ran tells us, and that's how the Ran explains even the Gemara in the onset. Is mivuri like that? Because the Gemara right away is heads into differences in as far as char is concerned. So it seems to be that that was never an issue by the Gemara. That was never the hanoh. And the Ran happens to fill us in at that point of the sugya. Okay.
Well, I mean, the fact that you can teach midrash, isn't it? It's kind of machayev that way, right?
That will.
That the limud itself is not a hanoh, because uh-huh. Otherwise you wouldn't be able to teach the midrash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And again, that would be different. Let's say using a mikveh, that if you made the neder not to get hanoh to tovel in someone's mikveh, even though it closed you off, that would be aser.
Yeah, I think we had it with that thing. I thought we saw that before, right? And spoke about that. We should really work with the Mar Malcolm in front of us, but we're maybe a little at a disadvantage today. So we'll take the liberty to do that. But of course, everything that we say, you know, has to be examined, right? And anything that's inaccurate should be dealt with properly. Right, so we see. You're definitely saying right, but I don't know what I was pointing at was that the Gemara, the answer to the Gemara, when the Gemara asks, "Maishno," right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. The Gemara wants to know.
Yeah, I mean, the question really just leaves a lot unsaid, because it's saying that you could. you could charge schar and you did it b'chinam. In l'chor, if you would take the schar, you can teach him even mikra, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's only because you did it b'chinam.
Right, right.
I mean, it should say lo yilamdenu b'chinam.
I mean, the Gemara itself should say it.
Or the
Right. I mean, the Gemara, that doesn't let us on at all to know what the background is. The Gemara just tells us that he's basically asking, right? Mahanile, right? Mikra, you can. Must be there's a Hano, right? The Gemara doesn't explain what the Hano is. Right? That's why we went to the Ran to see what the Hano is. Now, you could have really explained the Gemara in the onset with the Hano of the limit itself. Right? I mean, regardless, is asking us the question, that what's the difference, right? Mm-hmm. Right? But what I was seeing in that was that it doesn't seem to be that there's a chazorah in the Gemara in what the Hano is. Right? The Gemara right away, Omer Shmuel, Mokshun Nuschar, right? That's that, right? So maybe that's why the Ran was mefarish like that the Hano on hand, even that the Gemara is dealing with, even though the Gemara doesn't speak out what the Hano is, but from the Hemshech HaGemara, it would seem like it's understood what the Hano that we're talking about, and the Gemara's question just is what's the difference, if there is schar, some there is, if not.
No.
So let's see. The empty Gemara. Gemara's answer: Omar Shmuel, Mokam Shnayt Nischal Hamikra, Veinayt Nischal Al Hamedrash. Now, the Hano is concerning the schar, and like Michael pointed out, right, we're talking about the fact that he's foregoing the schar. Right? That's what this is. Now, even that, any time we're talking about foregoing a payment, so there are really two ways of understanding of what the schar is, right? Is it the fact that he's not charging, right? He's like being moichel the charge. Is that what the issue is, or the issue is that the schar, the thing that's being given has value, and you're getting that. Right, when you're not paying schar, so you're getting the value of the chokhmah itself. It has a price tag with it. Okay, maybe.
Would that be totally then in the makom, meaning makom that they don't charge schar, so this then doesn't have a hana, but a place where they do charge schar, it does have a hana.
I mean that it should follow, right? If there's no price tag over here, if there's no charge, then there's no price tag. Right? The price tag that we're talking is an actual price. Right? We're not something which essentially is worth if there's no charge for it in this price. That means that you can't you can't demand payment for it. Right? That's what that would mean over here.
A practical mafkamina would be, let's say, if the person who has to pay for it is different than the person receiving the limud, right? Let's say, like if a father has to pay for a child, right? So, if the hana is the lack of pay, not having to pay with it, the hana is going to the father. If it's the intellectual stimulation, then the hana is going to the child.
Okay, so we'll see about that. We'll see that. That could become relevant to us. The Mishnah talks about such a thing, right? About teaching one's children, and so I mean that I just at this point I would raise the question then. When someone teaches someone else's son, I mean, of course, if it's working with a hiring, in that way, then the one who hires, is the one who's responsible for the payment. but if we're not talking about hiring, and we're talking about just doing something which has a charge, right? Mm-hmm. So then one has to think how that works, that is there such a halacha that when someone's child, you know, takes something, the father is responsible intrinsically, or it's really the son and the father, right? You know, is maybe responsible to take care of the in some degree the son's chiva as the receiver of the hano, and the receiver of this service is essentially the one who's mechuyev. Right? So if that would be so, then it could be that even if we're working with the schar, right, the one who is the schay of the schar is the one who receives the service, the benefit.
But again, but I guess it. Although our mission is discussing it, but we don't have to limit this question
right.
in a case. And if Reuven buys,
I was just opening that up.
Right.
You know, just when we get to there, and
okay.
we might
okay.
Have to
okay
have to, adjust a little bit. Okay, let's see. But you right, but you're saying a good thing. Let's see. So now, what's the Gemara? Yeah. What's the difference? Shmuel said, "Mokshe nischal, mikra v'nen nischal, medrash." So the Gemara says as follows: that this is what the Gemara tells us clearly, right? That the issue of that we're discussing over here is the fact that there should be payment over here, and payment is not being taken, and that's the hano, the one who's receiving this limud being taught, and he's not paying for it. That's what the hano is, and the difference between mikra and medrash and hagodas that says in the Mishnah that halacha is malamda medrash of hagodas is because there is no schar involved, because this is a mokum that they don't take payment for medrash halachas hagodas. So therefore, that's why there is no schar, but there's no hano. But they do take payment for mikra. And that's why there's a problem of hano. Okay, so it, at this time, it's important. It seems like there's not an akimto, which the Gemara asks, my posko, is this something which is set that we have the right to make such an akimto? Why should that be? Wash that piece. It's a strange kind of thing. You could have said the other way. For that matter, you could have said the other way also. You know, so therefore, I said, how could the Tana tell us that there's a difference in this way that you not your schar for halacha, not for mikra, because of the payment. If it just happens to be that this is what this place. The way they're noig, with really without any basis to this, so how could the Tana just set a halacha like this? If there was some reason why, something which would lend to why this setup should be, so okay, fine, then you could say that without giving us any background. But at this point, it could have been just the opposite, right? So then how could you set a halacha without any? You know, then any stipulations, as if it always exists such a thing. It's not really true. So that means that it would suggest that maybe there is some intrinsic reason why it should be like this. Even in a place that schar is taken, al hamikru shor lemishkal al medrash leshor lemishkal. Now the words, the Gemara itself. Seems to be saying like this. Already he's leading us on that that there it's afil b'mokom shenoyt nischar on any kind of limud. Right? That means that it would be mahashma. I see the Ran that there are places that b'chlau don't take any schar at all. And if there's no schar involved, then in a chanami, like we're saying, then it's all mutter. And what this the Kamash Malon of our Mishnah, which is telling us that there's a difference, is saying that even in a place where there is a Netilas Schar, so Netilas Schar already sets us up for a possible Hano issue by not taking the Schar. However, that's only going to affect Al HaMikra Shor LeMishkal. Only on Mikra one could take Schar, but on Medrash Lo Shor LeMishkal. Medrash Ikin, and that's why the halacha is, so therefore the Mishnah, definitely the schar that we're, the hano that we're talking about in the Mishnah is schar related. And if the Mishnah tells us that you can't be nana from Liman Mikra, that suggests that Liman Mikra has schar. However, it's mutter on halacha synagogue, it's anything other than Mikra. The reason is because there's never a schar issue. Now this is telling us something even before the nether issue, right? I mean, it's telling us as far as the limb itself that there's an intrinsic difference between the two as far as char is concerned, right? That's the Mishnah. That's what we're coming to say. The hamikra shor lemishkal, mikra one could take al medrash leshori lemishkal. Let's see the Gemara. Yeah, so the Gemara, Maishno Medrash Deloi. So Zok the Gemara. Okay, so you tell me that there's a reason that you can't take. This is already, you know, more in the Chayish and the Chayish Mishpat. Exactly what where that comes from. One cannot charge. Maishno the Medrash Deloi, the Chsev of Oisitiv Hashem Boisahilam Reschem, Uksiv Reimati Eschem Hukum Mishpot and Tashat Tzvan Hashem Elikoi. The more right now is going to bring the source, that which is apparently the source why one can't take Limud. And the more is asking that, well, why does this apply to Medrash more than Mikra? And that's what the more is heading. So, Zot Mora, I understand the basic idea over here that the hano and the sugyo must be a hano of schar, and I understand that as far as limud there are sources that one can take schar and oibazoi, so then there wouldn't be a problem of hano, and you know that explains the halacha of medrash agod, things other than mikra. And Morris Niskash with mikra, well, you tell me mikra is a problem because of the schar. Well, the source that one shouldn't take schar for limud ha-Torah, why does it not apply to mikra? As the Morris tells us again, that this is the source why one is not allowed to take schar for limud ha-Torah. This pasuk. The pasuk is again, Oyzi tiva Hashem bo'eisahi lamed eschem. This is the Pasuk Zokteran that Ben Shalom was Mitzave Moshe Rabbeinu to teach Klal Yisrael. Ulchsev, this is concerning the teaching. Re'eli Mati Eschechem Chukum Mishpatim. The Pasuk says, Kasha Tzivani Hashem Eloikoi. Right? That Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, I taught you, Hashem was Mitzave me to teach you, Kasha Tzivani Hashem Eloikoi. The Gemara learns from there, and we'll see in the Ran what the limit is. Mani bechinam afatem bechinam. Mani bechinam, just like my limit was bechinam, so too atem, when you are taught by others, or when I teach you, it has to be bechinam, I can't charge you. That's the source that one may not charge for limit, and that's maybe the middle of the basis why Medrash and Agodah. It's mutle honest because there's no schar issue. Right? The fact he's not paying the schar, he can't charge in the first place. So from this pasuk, mikro also, this pasuk is not mechalik in any difference in the chelke ha'Torah. Mikronami. So tomorrow, Rav Omar schar shimur, Rabbi Yechon Omar schar pisuk taimim. The Gemara says that's because in a chanami, the actual limud of mikra, also one can charge. However, there happens to be an aspect in the limud of mikra which doesn't go into the chukim mishpatim that the pasuk talks about, which one may not charge for, and that's where the mokim of a charge would come in. And it's machlek is what that is. Rav Amar schar shimur, that is the schar that one could charge for watching the children that one is teaching. And true as the Gemara says, that if one is watching is teaching ones that do not need shimur, then there's no basis for a charge according to Rav. Rav Yerchan Amar schar pisuk taimim. Schapi suktaimim, I will see in the Ran how he explains what that refers to. That, you know, teaching where the psukim ends. That part of the limud is not bechlal the din of hukum mishpatim, and that one could charge. Let's see the Ran now. That the top ran, right, this ran on the Achlam and Zayin, Halvan explains what the Gemara says. It says, Omar Shmuel, Mokshan, Yitzchal, Mikvin, Yitzchal, Midrish, Al HaMedrish, Yitzchal, Lo Yishor, Yilei, Le Mishkal.
I have a Gimel saying, this is really going on the words from Amud Beis.
From Amud Beis. Oh, which words?
When it said Amar Shmuel. So he said, B'makum, right, B'makum shenotnim schar al hamikra, v'ein notnim schar al hamedrash.
Right, these last words right. Is already...
And then this said he adds in at the end, that wasn't part of the original thing. Mm-hmm. He's kind of adding that in as a hezber of Shmuel.
Right, these are actually the words are after the Kamash Malon, right? The second half of the statement, O Kamash Malon, Afilu Moshah Al Hamikashar, Al Hamedish Lishar Lamishka.
Right,
that's what that is. Right, maybe they should have been like a little hulu and they just let us know it's not a straight quote. Right. Okay. Right. So the Ran is explaining really at this point of the Gemara, the whole Kamash Malon. So the Ran, Nira Be'inai Dahochi Pirushai. Whenever the Ran does this, that would imply that the Gemara is not so straightforward how the Gemara says it, and it needs a little explanation, and this is where you might find other Rishayim explaining differently. Mm-hmm. Right? If you want to be on the lookout for Machlekes and Rishayim, you know, the Nira Be'enai of the Ran, but it would suggest that what he's saying is his understanding of the Gemara. Dachi Pirushi. Medina mutalit al schar al hamikra v'loy al hamedrish ki mishvarish v'ozom. That the Ikar Hadin would seem to be, if you're just talking about practicing according to the Shuras Hadin, then it's mutter to take schar on the mikra and not on medrash, as the Gemara will explain. Miu yesh mikhaimis shemachmin al atm shleitin schar afilu al hamikra. However, that there are places that they don't take schar at all. Afilu al mikra, they shle have a little min hamedrash. They don't want to make any chalukim, people will get confused. And that's, we find that in Takanas Chazal, and the Xeris Chazal work like that. Now this is not Ikaradin. This is the Chumrah of certain places that they don't take schar at all. Uva oisin mikaymis or bezois. If there's no schar involved at all, even in mikra, for oisin mikaymis, I feel the mikra yochol lelam. It'll be mutter to teach sharei mikiv shechmir al atzmon lemitzvah enem rishon lito schar. So if they are machmir not to take any schar at all, there's no schar involved, v'havalei mikro kemedrish l'chol hamakaymis. So in these places, this the din of mikro will be just like the din of medrash and agada in other places which follow, which conduct themselves according to the Ikar HaDin, but there's no schar involved. Anytime there's no schar involved, because that's the aleph base in the sugi over here. The hano over here is as far as the schar, not paying schar. So if there is no schar, then it's all mutter, even by mikra. El demasnis misuk b'mokam shnetin schar al hamikra. Our mission is talking about a place, Kloima, Shaloi Hechmir Alatim. That is the Mashmois in the Gemara over here, and that's the man's comment to explain. Right? Nafil b'mogim shnoit n'schar. Right? As if to suggest that there are different types of places concerning this. Right, so that's the Ran is giving us the background. That's what that's referring to. That in Lechname, that there are places that conduct themselves that Liftim Ishuris Adin. They're machmer on themselves. And we're not discussing those places, because in Achanami, those places have no chiluk between the two. And what the Gemara has come to say, that even places which conduct themselves according to the Shuras Adin, and therefore there is moment, there is geld involved, but even when one has the right to take money, but it's limited just to mikra and not to medrash agada, and that's why there's a nafkamin legabe the isuri hano. So zokteran elad masnis misukum b'magum shnoten schar al mikra kloima shlo yichmir laatzmon. They were not machmer; they're conducting themselves al pi the shuras adin. But filu ba'oisem b'magum al hamikra davko hu the shor the mishko. Right, they charge. However, they're only allowed to charge for mikra. Since there is a charge in this place, so by not taking that payment, then the one who's getting the limud is being named. You can't take the Medina awesome Farish for Ozel. That even a place that they're not concerned and they're taking schar, but that's Avada the Medina, that's also Farish for Ozel. Hook of Kim Lam the Medrish Bechinam, therefore when he's taking Medrish, which refers to anything other than Mikra, is Loy Mahani Levi Midi, there is no schar, the Agarle Mikhaivle, because regardless there is no schar. You can't take schar for this, and so he's not benefiting as far as the schar is concerned. And as the Ran says, mentioned before, the limud gufe. But we want to ask, what about the actual limud itself? Nami lav hanohi. That's a basic premise that we know in the whole sugi from the onset. The mitzvahs lav lehonos nitnu. Mitzvahs lav lehonos nitnu. Okay. Let's see. Yeah.
I assume, despite the fact you said there's what to talk about, it's a different sugya.
We raised a little bit before what one can think about initially over here. But right, Mitzvah is a point itself. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Zokt the Ran. Let's see the Ran a little further over here. Ulin halocho, haimelon hochi, the al hamedrish the shor lemishkal. Mihu hanemeli schar limud, abel agar batolo shori. Now let's hear this. Right, the Ran is telling us that, and the truth is that you see that even from mikra, right? It's not like there's an intrinsic difference between mikra and other things. That it just happens to be that in mikra, aside from the actual mikra itself, but there's something there that's not included in the chukim mishpatim, in the ikar limud that the Torah said that's not chargeable. And that's why one could charge. So therefore, theoretically, that if there would be some kind of other charge in halachas and agadas, then one also be able to charge for that, right? Right, just to put in the context over here, that let's say shimur, the Gemara says shimur teaching small children. Small children are not learning that, right? So that's why it's not relevant. But were you to daily be teaching to maybe a group of boys that need some shimur, right? Speak to the teachers.
I'm not sure this is shy for me. I'm not teaching Torah. I can start for the eager limit.
Right. But you might feel that maybe there is a possibility, such a circumstance where you're teaching boys that maybe on the intellectual level they're ready for halachas and agodas, but they still need shimur.
We won't ask the rabbi about the shimur.
Boys ask me how to read a Rabbeinu Peretz in their class.
Yes, yeah? Okay.
I mean, they're holding by Rabbeinu Peretz.
Right. So that's the point. Therefore, the Ran says that the truth of the matter is that there is such a thing. Now, agar batolo, exactly how we figure that out and what that is, but we'll. Or just give it a general idea what that is. I mean that definitely applies to if a person has a job and he's taking off time to teach, but that even applies to someone who doesn't have a different job, but he could have had a different job and he chose to do this, so he's giving up. That other monies that he could have made. That's also bechlal the halacha of schar batolo, and that might be the basis for rebbeim, right, for their salaries.
I mean, once you add that in, you couldn't teach anybody b'chinam. I mean, how do we say? Do we say that there's makomos where you don't charge
smart? No. Okay, so that is what I want to get to. Very, very good. Very good over here. Right? I mean, so once that's so, right? So then what are we talking about over here? Right? The Ran is telling us.
Well, our whole Gemara is just a theoretical exercise.
Probably not. But let's just work this out, right? So you're asking a good question that we have to work out. So one thing, now the Ran just brought in something which is going to make us difficult over here, because the Ran said that there's schar batola. So if there's schar batola, so I mean, how do we address the schar batola in this Gemara, right? Now, if we're talking about Al Gemara, the reason why there's no Hano over here, because there is no Schar Batolo, so why isn't there? Why is there such a thing as a Mokum that they're not Noig to take Schar Batolo? Okay, maybe that's what it is. The other option is that you're paying for the Schar Batolo, right? That's not right.
You're saying the Schar Limud is on top of that? Would have been on top of that?
Yeah. That would have been a difference, right? That would be the Cheshbon. That there's a difference between the Schar Batorla and the Schar Limud. Now again, I didn't work out the math, and do the statistics over here, right? But that L'chara would be, that's one of the two options over here. The fact that, so let's repeat again, the Ran is telling us that lahalocha, that schar batol could be taken for any type of limud ha-Torah, even the limud that the Gemara says over here, right, because you're not taking schar for the limud itself, right? What you're doing is that you're taking schar for not being available to do a different job which would bring in an income. So that's not a contradiction to the halacha of ma'is b'chinam ma'afato b'chinam.
But could there be another difference between the schar batalas compared to the, let's say, the schar shimor and the schar?
Okay.
Is that there you're getting a direct benefit, right? But schar batala, you're paying him not to do something, so that might not be considered like a direct hana. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. So that's also another possibility.
So on the paying or on the being mochel?
He's being mochel the paying of not give, of not working, right? But he's not working.
Right.
In other words, we said like the limud, right? The shimud, right?
But let's hear that because Michael's raising point, which I just want to hear that. That mean true that the charge is to something which is indirect. Right, that's true. Let's hear that. But let's say today there is a charge, right? You owe me money. I have the right to charge you for that, and I'm being moichel. So
it's almost like paying a debt for paying the debt where you're not giving it to the person. Right, because you're preventing him from having to pay something, but not for something that he's going to get.
Let's see, his charge. You're being moichel him. See, this would be, I think this really should have to do with what we discussed before, that what is the hano of
right,
the person
yeah.
who's not paying?
That would be
right,
better.
Right, that would be more to it, right? If the hano is the mechilas haschar, that you're getting the schar, so I wouldn't be so
right.
sure it makes so much of a difference. Safe kol safe,
right.
you really owe me money, right? But if it's you getting that service, I'm not, that's not what I'm doing, right? I'm like getting service, I'm paying for something, right? Otherwise, right? Mm. Right. So that would be taco better.
Mm. That's what I thought he meant.
That's getting more
right.
to the
point. Uh-huh. Okay. Very good. Okay. So that. Mm-hmm. So that would help us understand that even if you know, without Hilchos Nedorim, if you want to talk about that's the Ran is saying, right? That Al Medrash Leshokel Leshor LeMishkel. That's what he's dealing with as far as what is permitted, and that he's saying that the Schar Batola it could. And we just offered right now very good a possibility that therefore that the schar of batolo really has no bearing on our sugya, even if one would not be taking the schar batolo, that there's a way of explaining why that would not be considered a hano. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Okay, these are the tzdodim in them, right? Michael, you'll do the investigation to find the different sheets we're showing concerning this. Okay, we could be assign you that job.
Maybe
we have enough things to explain.
I'm going away
to,
this week, so I don't know.
To verify.
I'm not going to have any Rishonim with me.
Yeah. Okay, they tell me that you could meet them on the phone. Okay. Okay, let's see. Okay, because I'm going to let the Yerushalmi that he brings as a source of this right now. Let's jump over to the next one. Ma'ishno medrash deloy dechseh ba'isitziv Hashem ba'isahi zokt the Ran haikra ma'isi la'ashmeinan. Right, and as we see that the Ran is feels that he needs to explain why we're bringing this pasuk, and that's because really the source that we're looking for is really in the next post. I think more brings right. My moisi bechinam. Zokteran hay kromaisi la'ashmi inon de moishen estava lumi terli Yisrael. we see from over here that Moshe was commanded to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. Now, one still might ask that, okay, but why is that relevant to our sugya? Is the Hemshech HaDvarim that the Gemara brings make a difference whether he was mitzvah or not mitzvah? Right? So, of course, if you see that one who teaches, you see these are the Gedorim. So, was it necessary for us to bring the pasuk that Moshe was nitztaver?
What you're saying is that if Torah has to be taught b'chinam, even if you would do it b'rishus, it has to be taught b'chinam. You don't need that there's a chova. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. So I think we'll see in the Hemshech HaDvarim, right, because the next pasuk really does talk about that, right? The pasuk is Kashitzivani Hashem Leikoi, right? That's what this pasuk is essentially referring to, right? So that is what the Mati Eschem Kashitzivani Hashem Leikoi. So where was it in its top? That's the first pasuk. Now let's see the next round, and we'll see. Zokturan. Uksiv, re'eli mati eschem chukum mishpodim kasha tzivani Hashem aleka kloimer. She tzivani, Baruch Shalom commanded me lilmoid b'chinam. This was tzivani Hashem alekoi that when I teach, it should be b'chinam. Now, how do we see that? So the Ran goes to explain as follows, right? Because, the Gemara itself says, mani b'chinam afatem b'chinam. Where do you see that this, that's true, but where do you see that that is what the pasuk is coming to say here? Di'i loy, zokteran, kasher tzivani amai koi. What is this kasher tzivani? Why is it necessary for the pasuk to say kasher tzivani? The lekul meimar bischar. You can't say that the pasuk means bischar, to charge, that there could be a charge for it, should be a charge for it. Tehechi leimo kashet tzivani v'chitzivohu bekach v'isagi leilish la'agra, as follows. Right? You know, the pasuk is really open. Kashet tzivani doesn't tell us what the tzivani is, right? I mean, as far as we're concerned, in Dr. Man, maybe tzivani is with schar. On that, the Ran says that's posha to us. That's posha to us. That concerning schar kash tzivani Hashem alekoi, if we would translate that to mean with schar, then it will come out that limhater must always be with schar. And on that, Ran says, speaking of that, it's poshut by the Gemara that lo yisaged el lishko agro. That is it true that one is it possible to say that one can't teach without taking schar? So if the posuk would be kashet tzivani, it's not a heter over here. It's a tzivui, right? What to do? Something specific. So if it would be involving schar, so then it would be machayev to take schar. That is as far as pshuta that limud only with schar can't be. So that's not an option. Maybe this is what it means. Kashet tzivani v'loy me'atz me'ani yomer. So maybe the kashet tzivani is referring to the source of the Torah. Or the source of, right. You know, so where's the source of it come? Kashet tzivani Hashem alekoi. Maybe that is what he's coming to say with the kashet tzivani.
And that would seemingly be the pashtus of the pasuk. I'm teaching you because Hashem commanded me to teach you.
Or. What is this? Is this referring to the commandment to teach, or where I got this? The chachma said here from. We what's the source? What is the source of this?
Share, meaning that's what you're saying. Okay, I hear what you're reading. Okay, fine.
I was talking simply about this, right? Quintal, I'm saying maybe if she could have said better, kashi limadti, right? Hashem taught me rather than commanded me. According to what you're saying, it's better that kashi tivani, there was a commandment concerning the limit to teach you. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if we could. From the way he fears Zoe, so the way he continues on, if we'll hear a decision on that. And that, Zokteran, the Vali Yisrael Ahil Mefakfum Kach, that wasn't something which Moshe had to address, to specify, because definitely Klal Yisrael had no doubts concerning that. To Hoksiv, the Pasuk says, B'cho Yaminu Lo'olam, that Klal Yisrael will believe and trust in you. So he didn't have to stress anything which because of a lack of trusting, a doubt. So why is he saying Kashi Sivani Hashem Aleikoi? So now over here, according to the way, let's say, so you're translating, it's the tzivui. He's coming to teach them Torah, and he's saying, "Kasha Sivan Hashem El Kai, Hashem commanded me to do that." According to the way you translate them, that means that it's simple to us that what he was doing because of the command of Hashem, and he didn't have to stress that because with this, the Klal Yisrael, B'chol Yamin Lo Olam, is something that they would trust that anything that he does is comes from a command of Hashem. Right. Alternately. It would mean that the source of what he is teaching, definitely came from the Rabbanu Shalom, and he wouldn't, Kleisel would not have any doubt that it's something that he was the source, right?
And thinking maybe it must be mashma the way you're saying, because the Ron otherwise should have said, we already have a, if it was like me, he should have said, we already have a pasuk for that. He didn't have to say everything that he says. The previous pasuk says, "Otzot tziva Hashem be'etahi lamed etchem."
Oh, okay. Very good. Meaning, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Very good. Okay, so now let's see. Elavavi hachi koma. So being that there these other options are not options in the pasuk. So what is the pasuk saying? Kashet sivani Hashem leikoi. Elavavi hachi koma. Kashet sivani lelamed bechinam. Therefore, the only translation that is possible in this pasuk is concerning the teaching. It's addressing a schar issue, but it's coming to say that the limud must be done bechinum. Kashet sivani Hashem leikoi. Now, it would seem, therefore, from this Ran, that, you know, as the Gemara says, mani bechinam afatem nami bechinum. Now, you know, if there's such a hekesh like that, so then we wouldn't need all this. That's what this is mashma, right? You know, if you learn that this, right, kashet sivani Hashem leikoi, as if there's some kind of hekesh. The same way Hashem taught me, right? That's that might be the mashmois, that the intention of the tzivani is the limud. Mani bechin, afatemin ami bechin. But you see, it would seem from the Ran that there is no like hekesh. That's not the drosh. The drosh is not like a hekesh in the posh that we have a mashmois in the posh that he's comparing my limud to your limud. Right? This is only this loshen hagemara really is only after the drosh is made. The gemara is coding it in this way, but it's not the actual drosh. Like that in other places that you have a hekesh, right? The pasuk compares two things, and we learn from over there, just like over there, you know, here too. Right? But that's not the source of the drosh. The source of the drosh is like the Ran saying the kashet tzivane Hashem alikoy. That pasuk is extra. And as the Ran goes through barichas, what the other possibilities are, and what this pasuk could be saying, and if the pasuk is saying that there was a special commandment concerning the limud, and that siva concerning the limud, the Ran says is that it must have been bechinam.
I'm just wondering, since you're raising this, I happen to look at Amud Aleph of next week.
Oh yeah, okay. Well,
wondering if this will be a nafka mina, because they darsh on these pesukim differently. That the Torah was given only to Moshe,
yeah.
And his decision to teach it was his own decision, and that he really Hashem just gave the Torah to Moshe. It wasn't for Klal Yisrael; it was only
mm-hmm.
for him,
mm-hmm.
and he taught it of his own accord.
Mm-hmm.
So then, and those pesukim come for that. So then maybe then you need this limud. I'm just. It's occurring to me as you raise this question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, good.
One of the Rishonim in the footnote of the English says the drasha is different than most people learn, that just like Hashem Tzivani, Hashem taught me the Torah b'chinam. Hashem didn't charge me that He should teach me the Torah. He taught me the Torah b'chinam. So too, you should teach people the Torah b'chinam. Most people learn that just like Moshe is supposed to taught the Torah b'chinam to Klal Yisrael, so too every yid should teach it to somebody else b'chinam. But one of the Rishonim says that it's Hashem taught the Torah to Moshe b'chinam.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that in the footnote, Shlomo?
I don't know if I saw it, remembered in the footnote. That's how I read it. So I don't know if
that's
I got that.
That's how you read it.
I mean, I don't know if I read it from the footnote, but that's
how. That's how you read it. Wow, that's a chiddush.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I'm just a bad reader. That's all.
Very good.
Yeah. So it's you're saying really even better. I was saying that the words mani mechinam, afatem nami mechinam. I actually was translating it the way you were saying over from this that source, and I was saying that we'll according to the Ran, that's not really the drasha, but you're saying better. The mani bechinam. Means my limit to you. That's what it means. But again, this is not a source, right? This is just the halacha. The source of things are still coming from that pasuk.
Right. But the Lan clearly doesn't seem to learn like that.
Right.
For whatever reason.
That's not right. That's not the source. It's not the source.
What's the source?
The Ran says Kasha Tzivani Hashem Lekoi. Right. That's. And that's what the Ran says, right? That the tzivi was to teach bechinam, and like you're saying that the tzivi was that Moshe should teach bechinam. Right? So when the Gemara says mani bechinam, afatanam bechinam, this is we understood that that's how Torah is supposed to be taught. The assumption is that there is no difference. Should be no difference. The way Moshe was commanded to teach is the way Torah is supposed to be taught. Right?
I mean, if you learn that it's because Hashem said teach bechinam, fine. Then you have this problem maybe with this other lashon mani bechinam afkam bechinam. If you want to learn the other way, like Rav Eliyahu's quoting from this Rishon,
mm-hmm.
that it means. You know, I'm teaching you for free, like Hashem taught me for free. Are you learning Efshar Mishal Efshar, or no? It is possible to pay Hashem.
mm-hmm. So probably what we would say over here is that the issue is Efshar Mishal Efshar is when you're making a mamatzinu, right? And there's no specific. Pasuk which is connecting the two things. So if making a mamatzino, then that's where we find that there's a room to be mechag and efshem mishi efshem. But the pasuk itself is making the connection.
Okay.
Right, so then you know it's not our decision. So then
it's the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah. Behold, I have taught you the laws and statutes as Hashem my God commanded me. I have taught you as Hashem taught me without payment. Hashem did not demand payment from me. It says, as taught me, he commanded me without demanding payment, so to I.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Rambam.
The Rambam, in Hilchos Talmud Torah?
Hilchos Talmud Torah.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
That's a pretty chashuv rishon.
Okay, so let's see. Umazen. Okay, so we're back over here.
I think it's a Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin.
Okay. What is it? I mean, a lot of times the Ran will bring down Rambams that don't agree with him. But I've noticed a few times recently he doesn't seem to mention disagreements.
Okay, so let's see. Let's just hop around a little bit over here. Though. I know today's a little bit more difficult, so maybe we'll try to be makatzer a little bit. So let's just see if we can hop around a little further in the sugi here. So we saw that the Gemara says that the real basis between the difference between Mikra and other things, and the reason why Mikra is a problem is because there is a schar component in Mikra, which doesn't affect what the Pasuk tells us that one cannot charge for Limud HaTorah, because there are side charges which are available by Mikra, and that's the source of the Isser Hanoah by Mikra, because of these side charges, which these don't apply generally by Limudim, which are more advanced than Mikra. Now, what are the charges for? Rav says
there's a difference that the Mikra is Tarshav Iksav, and the other things that are listed in the Mishnah is Tarshav Al Peh. Is that the difference?
No.
Medrash Halachas Agadas, I understand the Tarshav Al Peh. And those are usually taught to older children. And Mikra is the written Pesukim in the Tanakh.
I don't think it's because the Chiluk Torah Shebaal Peh necessarily. I mean, you know, if you want to, it's not intrinsically because of that. So I wouldn't necessarily make that difference.
The only Hanah that we're discussing is that if somebody would have normally paid for this and the teacher is doing it for free, that's the only Hanah we're discussing.
Right.
Not the Hanah of the actual teacher that you're learning Torah. That's a mitzvah or whatever. That's not in the discussion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Moset or whatever.
Whatever.
We discussed not discussing this earlier in the topic, so this is a big topic. So whatever, right? It's all that stuff that we're not discussing.
Why are we not discussing it?
A different topic.
Right. I mean, we just went one step further, and we just mentioned the Ran says because the mitzvah is lavel hanes
ninu. Right.
Okay.
And Limud HaTorah, it is the truth is though that Limud HaTorah is for Hana. It's supposed to be Vaharev, not supposed to be sweet. It's supposed to be it's different than other mitzvahs, possibly in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you'll
and that's why you can't learn Torah and Dishma, because it's supposed to be Hana. It's supposed to be.
We hear. That's why we decided not to delve into these questions. There seem to be a bunch of questions.
Okay, yeah, we touched on that before earlier in this year, right? And we discussed till the point that we felt was enough for the current shiur. Okay, but yeah, right. But you're touching on a point, definitely. Okay, lamzen case nachum. We have over here machlokes. What is the schar that mikra that one has by mikra, which is the basis of the Issar Hanoah that our mission says that you have by mikra. Rav says it's schar shimo. Rabbi Yochanan Amar schar pisutam. Let's see the ran. Zok the ran. Rav Amar schar shimo. The mistomo loim de mikra ktanim. That when we're talking about limud mikra, that we can assume that we're talking about ktanim mitzrich and shimur. Young children, there's another aspect over here, a shimur, watching them, guarding them. Mishum hochi nehi da agar limud asur, however, schar shimur shori. So according to this, right, just to stress the point again, that as far as the actual limud itself, there is no difference. Anything which is bechlal chukum mishpatim, and the actual mikra definitely is one cannot charge for. We're just talking about side charges which are not bechlal the limud itself.
And for that matter, anytime you babysit children, and if you normally would charge, you do it for free. You can't do it for somebody that when it's an isra anah. It's nothing to do with the teaching dog.
Yeah,
it's the babysitting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a charge, right? Pretty much, right? Like, except that we talked about other babysitting, other charges, right? But any charge which should be, and one is not taking, right? That's the problem of Issar Hanoah. Let's see. Zok d'Rav Rabbi Yochanan Amar Schar Pisuk Taimim. What does that refer to? Shemalam Lehem Taimim. The Ran doesn't tell us exactly what timeim is, right? It looks like maybe it's a shan l'shainu, exactly what timeim is. Yeah, okay, maybe we'll write.
Maybe an amud beis? Is it clarify it better?
No, amud beis, we do see that in some machlokes, if it's a midrash or not, but
right.
I don't know if it says...
Yeah. The Rosh says Linagin Hamikrois Kehilchosun. Right? So right, the Ran, you know, just gives us a little bit of an explanation what that means. Taimim, right? That might be time usually is translated in some form as a taste. Now in sound, right, making sound tasteful would be the nigun that comes along with it, right? That's how the word tam could refer to the nigunim.
What's clear is that there's only this nigun by mikra, not by mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
That's clear.
That is a fact, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least a set nigun.
What?
There's no set nigun. Sometimes you sit in the base medrash, you hear people learn. They learn with a nice...
Right, I think that's what you're coming to point out, is that that's not the niggun, that's tamim.
That's right. That's not what tamim means. Tam is a, as you said, set niggun. It's the trough, whatever. Yeah. But the Rabbi Borenstein on the tape explained that the tamim, are the trough is supposed to be explaining the psukim. It's supposed to give an explanation. It's supposed to, like, he quoted the gra, some famous gra's with the kadma, the azla. That's why Klais will lach Mitzrayim in 210 years, not for 400 years, because it whatever. From the truck, you get a better understanding of psukim.
So I was wondering if that story was based on the other shita, that it is the Raisa. Because if you say it's not the Raisa, it's hard to...
I think that's explaining the one that holds the Raisa. Thank you. Right. You're right. He said it in reference to that. Now that you refresh my memory, that's what he said in reference to. But the point is that it also with the trup, you know where to put the esnachta, where to put the sof pasuk, and that's also explaining the pasuk better, because if you don't know where, if you don't know where to stop, you could explain the pasuk wrongly.
No, this is what I was looking at. This is.
What, you see something there?
Well, he says when he goes on Eila Hapsukim, Nekudos Amavsikos Pein Pasuk LePasuk. That's not Pisuk Tamim, I think.
Right. What, what is that? What is that referring to?
That's called. That's what is it, what Psukim is when he's.
Oh.
That's when it says what's called Psukim.
That's what that was. Right.
Okay, but then he says the Kari Luhu Shum Sechel, meaning where the Psukim end. Shal Yedehem Mavin Mikra Kafi Tenuas Atamim. That's where he uses this word again. The you from the moving of the Tamim, and he's saying that somehow this Ran on Amud Beis. Trying to, because here is referring to where the Pesukim end, but he says that by understanding where the Pesukim end, Al Yedehem Mevin Hamikra Kafi Tuus Tamim. What does he mean that by that? Ukad Amar Beperakon. Fine, okay. Suke Tamim. And then he says at the end, Nafgamina Liv Suke Tami. Whatever it means there in Chagiga. Do you know what he means here by Tenuas Atamim?
Then, here, where is that? In this round, same Seichel, this is something other than the piece of time, and this is in this is Psukim.
Right.
Who calls it Psukim? Maybe in Hamakro is Kefi Tenuas Atamim. Knowing with psukim stop help one understand in the tenuas a time. So what do we want to know from there? Do we have a clue over there what tenuas atayim, what time means? He calls it tenuas atayim.
Right. I thought maybe it might help us to know what he means. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But
what he adds an additional word over there for us, right, to know what it means. Okay, Akoponim, I mean, the Ran himself, I don't think, gives us any information. Maybe we're supposed to know this on our own, that's what it refers to, right? The other Rishonim translate that as the trop. That's what the Rosh says. I think Rashi in other places, I think also says, has the Moisef Rashi on the side, but some Rashis, they have a Rashi translating what that means.
Yeah, I have that in Megillah.
Right, what does Rashi say?
Hanaginos kruyim ta'amim.
Right, okay, right, so Rashi also is mefurish like that.
Right. And he says, Shel Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. I guess that's all called Mikra anyway.
Okay, very good. Okay, and as we'll see, that might be machlokes. So let's see. I mean, that is machlokes. Let's see. So zok the Gemara. So we just saw so far over here the machlokes. What is the schab that one could charge for mikra that makes a difference in our sugya concerning Yisuri Hano if one doesn't take the charge for that? Is not being charged for that, then he'll be nene when he has when he has that limud without paying for the charge that comes along with it. Let's see the rat. So let's just finish up with the rat over here in Rabbi Yochanan. Schapik is timing. Shemalamdim lahem timing. The lav midiraisin inu. So the rat makes the point over here that this is lav midirais. So hilkoch lehavu chalchukim mishpotim. Alright? That essentially, there's not the time themselves, that there's not a difference, in what it is, and therefore, were it to be deraisa, that also would be b'chlal chukum shvatim, and you couldn't charge for it. It's only because it's lav deraisa, like the Gemara says later. V'iko ben arav Rabbi Yochanan lame mikra legodl. So the Ran says that makes his own cheshbonis over here that it should come out with you this, that one would be teaching mikra for godl leboy shimur. So if that's over here, so with that, in this situation, there is no payment, so there's nothing to charge for. So then it'll be dilarav osur. This really the piece of time that rises up, right? But you still have piece of time in. I'm just lost the question again. No. Lami mikra. If you want to teach mikra to Godel, loiboy shimur. So the rav also rav shita.
It's also to take money.
Oh, that's what I have, right?
And he's
not talking in relation right now to Nidorim. He's talking about in the halacha of Hilchas Talmud Torah.
Right.
To have also, it's also to take. It's really the basic time is the raisa. So if there's no shimer, so there's no basis for a charge, right? So taking... You know, with everything else will be b'chlal the iser of taking money. Rabbi Yochanan shari mishum schar pisik taimim, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, there still is the charge that Rabbi Yochanan has is non dependent on the golden kadam, because it's not the shimer. It's an aspect that you have in every limud hamikra, the pisik taimim. Hilkoch le'inyan halacha kibn tamlin rav Rabbi Yochanan l'char Rabbi Yochanan naktin afil migodl shari little schar hamikra. If the halacha is Rabbi Yochanan, Locha Rabbi Yochanan, then one could take schar, no matter who he's teaching, because the schar on mikra is for the pisik timing. Kachem Devi Rambam, fine. Right, Rambam brings right the Rambam paskins like that like Rabbi Yochanan.
Can I just go back to something? Yes, mm-hmm. We have different ways of reading the trope, right? There's Yemenites, Ashkenazim, Sephardim, they're different. But everybody seems to agree what within, even not just where the psukim end, but even within a pasuk, where, you know, which words go together and which words don't go together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right? Because, I mean, the trope, part of the difference just is in just, you know, how the tune comes out. Essentially, if I believe that it's everyone's trying to follow the same essential idea. The difference is exactly how the tune plays out. But if you see everyone's, you know, doing the same kind of thing by each one of the chops. So in the arrangement of the psukim, like you're saying, that's all the same. You're following the notes, and the notes are putting certain words together. It just simply, you know, what tune, exactly how the tune comes out. That's really what it is.
The printed trap, right? The printed trap.
What's that?
The printed. What's in the chumash,
right?
I don't think there's a separate chumash that the Sfardim have as compared to the Ashkenazim.
Right. So that's what I'm wondering. Would we say that maybe that, like the printed trope, which tell you how the words fit together within the pasuk, that might be d'oraisa? It's only how they're actually pronounced that they're arguing about, or no? They're even arguing about the printed notes about what goes together within
that's
the.
That's what it sounds like, right? The actual printed notes, right? Those things themselves, right?
So according to Rabbi Yochanan, he would say that really Doreisa, you could split up the pasuk any way you want. And so Rav would say, no, this is, Doreisa, this is the way the pasuk gets put together.
So I wonder, Taka, I mean, if we didn't have the trop, or most people learn the Chumash, you know, they're not really following the trop necessarily. So is the trop what really is what's deciding, how we translate the pasuk? I wouldn't be so sure that that's really where it begins. Even though the trop might have an effect on that, but I don't know if it begins and ends there.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, that there are taka places that maybe Rashi brings different explanations, that some of them work with the trop and some don't. There's a famous one which is relevant every day. I think Mishnah Berurah brings it in the Oz Yosher B'mayim Adirim. Right, so is the Adirim describing the Mayim or not? Right, if you look in the chop of this B'mayim, there's a tipcha which really separates the two, and therefore it's not describing the Mayim, but it's referring to the mighty warriors that were drowned in the Mayim.
Oh.
Right? But I believe that there's a difference in the Meforshim. Not everyone necessarily follows the trop in explaining the pasuk. And I guess you still have different ways of explaining the pasuk.
So that would fit with Rabbi Yochanan, that it's Lav Doraisa. This is one way of interpreting, but there could be other ways to be Mefarsh the Pasuk.
Okay, could be.
And in places where maybe nobody argues, okay, so it was Pashut that was the only way to be Mefarsh the Pasuk.
Maybe. Yeah.
Two questions. First of all, in the Gemara it says that Rav holds you only can charge for children only for Schar Shimur. That means you don't charge for children to teach them the trop.
Right. That's the rice, right? So you can't charge for the trop.
Right. So therefore, when it comes to a gadol, there's no schar shimur, and you don't charge for the trop. Is that what the Ran saying?
The Ran, like Michael pointed out, is really discussing Hilchas Talmud Torah over here, right? The Nafkamina, that we're saying, he's not talking Hilchas Nedarim. Now, if we take it back to Hilchas Nedarim, it'll come out that if there's no charge, if there's nothing to charge for a gadol, so the ramification that it'll have in Hilchas Nedarim is that therefore it'll be mutter to do it for free.
It'll be mutter to teach somebody who's mutter hanah. You can teach him the mikra because
whenever there's no charge, that means if it's also to charge, right? So then there is no charge. So in hilchas nedarim, there's no hanah.
And that's not the case of the Mishnah, like the Gemara will discuss. But that can't be the case of the Mishnah because the Mishnah says other
mishnah. Right.
But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that it's shari to take money for a gadol. So if you're allowed to take money for a gadol, so then if you do it for free, you give him a hanah.
That's right.
Even by a gadol.
The other thing is, isn't there something that we always talk about? I mean, I know that's the reason why rabbis get paid. Isn't there something called schar batala? Isn't that? I know you mentioned it in the round, but isn't that? How come it's not more like? Forget about schar shimur. Forget about schar pisikdamim. You can get schar batala. I mean, everything. Once you say schar batala, it's you can pay for anything.
Shlomo.
What?
Perhaps that with the other things you're paying directly for something, right? So in other words, you're paying for the limud or you're paying for teaching the trappas compared to the schar batala, he's being mochel for paying for something that you're not getting. So maybe that could be an afkamina. In other words, schar batala is you're paying him not to do something, right, but you're not getting any direct hana. That's like an indirect hana.
And therefore that would be mother?
That's what I wanted to suggest. The difference.
This might be totally in a different machlokas that Rabbi Weinstein wanted to discuss earlier also.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
Weinstein had a different explanation.
But this was a nice thought. Right? You know, it could be that's depending on certain things, but it was a nice thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's just see. We really want to, you know, understand. Today is a tiny. Without the coffee, it's very difficult. So let's just see a couple of words. Ken Gimor, Sotah Gimor, yeah. Tanan. So our mission says as follows: Loi lam dena mikra. Our mission says you can't teach mikra. Bishlam alamando amar schar pisik taimim. That Zotmatis, that if the charge that you have by mikro is because of pisik time, so you understand that there's a charge, and so you're making the charge. El mandomar schar shimur, but according to mandomar, that the whole schar that you have by mikro is for shimur. That's for ktanim, godl bar shimur hu. The Gemara is assuming that our Mishnah that you're teaching a godel, that's not applicable. If it's not applicable, so then there really is no charge for mikri either. So then, you know, what's the difference? Why is that also? And Timora be cotton kotani in a chanami. We're talking about a cotton. He be cotton, he must say.
Who are you giving the hana to? To the cotton or to his father? Who would have paid the money for the schar shimur? He pays for his own shimur, or his father pays for his shimur?
Okay, very good. Very good point, right? And this is something, right, that Tapa was raised before. So let's hear this. We're talking about a cotton, and let's just see that Ran, just before we speak it on our own, right? Book the Ran. The first Ran is Tana Leim Dere Mikra, El Mandomar Tzchar Shimur Godel Bar Shimuhu, V'hoyu Noter Navshei. So there's no charge at all, right? Assuming that we're talking about a Godel. And the reason why the Mora assumes that we're talking about a godel is just more than the fact that minastam, that's what we talk about gedolim. But you see, like the hamishah hagemora, right? We're talking about someone who has bonim, right? That's what the Mora right away asks back. Akoponim, but at this point, enfiti gemora, we're talking about a cotton. The high mudr hano, a mudr is a cotton. The cotton is a mudr hano. Dr. Brown, therefore, gave the cotton oil from the world in Besam Zuvim Lafrishoi. That if he's a mother, Hano, so cotton is not mitzuvah, right? So, Lachore, what's the problem? What's the problem with teaching him getting Hano? On that, Ran says that even though the halacha is that if he's oichel nevelis, maybe we don't have to stop him from doing that. But you're not allowed to give it to him.
What about chinuch?
Right, so if he's a mudah hano, and if the one who can't have hano from is giving him hano, that's a safin b'yadayim. He wouldn't be able to do that, and that's why the halacha applies even to a cotton who's not mitzvah. Yeah, I'm sorry. What was the shaila?
Isn't there a mitzvah chinuch?
What's your question?
First explain what you mean with that.
Well, first of all,
you're saying that the father should have to pay, not the son. Well, so you're giving the hana to the father. Is that your question?
What's
your
question? Okay. That's what I asked before. First of all, I mean, how can you let this child eat nevelis?
Right, but here we're talking about teaching mikra, which is probably to young children. We're talking about that they you have to watch them. So lachora, right. They're before the age of chinuch of nedarim.
Oh, so I hear Michael raising a different point.
Michael or Shlomo?
I'm sorry, Shlomo.
Okay.
Raising a different point. Is this what Leo was asking? That the age of is before being a gadol?
Well, that was part of what I thought about, yes. I mean, actually there's the concept of the Dharma like a year before or something.
Kids need shimur. Boys need shimur even when they're 15 years old.
Right, but that doesn't fit into that. By medrash, we're not talking about 15-year-olds. We're talking about the difference between mikra and medrash is you're talking about very young as compared to Eichmann.
Well, I mean, you making that assumption doesn't really fit in with the Gemara that, then.
Right. Isn't that? I don't know. I thought that's how because Lomaiso, girls need shimur also, but whatever. It seems like things were a little different.
Let's go back to the question.
So, concerning that question, there's, two ways to approach that question. First of all, what is the halacha that musal samach leish, right? That his nedarim could be a neder concerning who? Yeah. We're just discussing that his neder is a valid neder. Suppose someone under that age that it's not a neder at all. Now, who does it obligate?
Well, who made the nether?
That's right. It's the whole question only assumes that the kid made the nether. The kid didn't make the nether. Here, the gadol made the nether. He said, this person can't get hana from me. This little boy can't get hana from me. There's no issue of...
Right, so Rabbi Davis mentioned on Shabbos that is, I guess, a machlokas rishonim.
That's the Rashba. That's a different. The Rashba learns
right.
A little differently.
Right, so whoever made the nether, the Easter's on the cotton, and according to the Ram, the Easter is for the cotton to do the action, right? There's no Easter on the gadol who made the nether.
Okay, fine.
To do it, so
that's what the Ram's answering here.
Right.
Let's work backwards. The Ram is asking a question that it's not osur for the cotton. Right, so the Ram is definitely dealing with the Isser of the cotton. Right? The Isser of the cotton. So what would that suggest? Who's making the nether that there should be an Isser on the cotton? Right? That means let's just put it in, that's what the Ram's talking about the Isser of the cotton. The gadol is not being over the iser when he feeds the cotton. It is the cotton who's being over. Right? That's what we're dealing with over here. So were it to be the gadol's nether, then the question around wouldn't get off the ground. Right?
Why?
Because if the gadol made an iser not to be mahana, not to give hanof to the cotton, so it would have been just like if he made an issa not to be mahana to our dog, right? He wouldn't be able to give anything to the dog. Right? It's all his issa.
This boy can't get hanof from me. You're saying that's the same thing?
Yeah.
Again, the cotton, the gadol is putting an issa on the cotton from getting a ma from the gadol, right? Now a cotton is a lav bar mitzvahs, but it would still be what the Ram is saying. It would still be aser to be machil the iser to the cotton. In other words, even though the cotton doesn't have consequences, but when the gadol made the neder on the cotton, now he's not able to.
Okay. I hear that. So he's making the neder, right? He's making the nether, and the nether is asking the other person. Asking the other person, and there's no difference whether the mother feeds him or someone else feeds him, right? Because the answer is that the cotton can't have ano. Right. And that the question is, I mean, cotton is it's not any worse than any other mitzvah that he's not mitzvah. So the isra hano on the cotton is only binding him with the layachel of the Torah that he's not mitzvah on. Okay, very good, very good. I hear that. So therefore you're telling Elio that no one's talking about the cotton made the nether here, right?
That's what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but I think what you were asking is that, but shouldn't the cotton not eat from the gadol anyhow because of chinuch? In other words, he's not mechuyev in the nether as a gadol, but mitzad of chinuch. And if he's old enough to be at the age of chinuch, so then
old enough to be at the age of chinuch. Concerning what?
An older boy that's already, you know, at the age of chinuch, so he's asked Bahama to eat from the gadol because of nedarim. So even though he's a cotton, so he's not mechuyev in it as a gadol, but still, I think what Eliyahu is asking is that mitzad chinuch he shouldn't be eating.
There are two possibilities. One, he might not even, cotton might not even know about the nether. And two, cotton might not even understand.
Well, that's with a gadol and a cotton. In other words, we're talking about that he does know about it, right?
Why?
What?
Why do we say the cotton knows about it?
With any time you're talking about a person's aser b'hamah, it has to be that the person knows about it.
No.
So then how can you hold anyone responsible for...
Well, that's a good question, but nevertheless...
So pashtus.
No. This is a big issue. You can aser somebody b'hamah and something and they don't know about it and they're still over. Mila b'shogig.
That's not b'shogig, that's onus.
If someone was
moder hanah from someone else and the other person doesn't know it, that's not shogeg. That's onus if you know it.
Okay, I just talked about meila. I just said meila. I was giving an example of meila. But fine. But nevertheless, you can ask for somebody on something, and they're chayiv on it anyway, even though they don't know about it. It's still usher on them. Now you want to say that they didn't know about it. You want to make excuses, okay? But they're still over. It's still us around them. You can usher in something. We've had many cases like that.
Where?
No, am I wrong? Am I wrong that you can't? Well, I'm saying you can usher something on somebody. I can usher my cell phone on, you know, Plony, without telling him about it.
Okay.
I don't have to tell him I ossered you on my cell phone. I can osser him without telling him, and he's still ossering.
I don't think. Are you arguing on that premise?
I'm saying that I mean.
I think you disagreed with that.
I think so. I think that if a person. If a person uses the cell phone in that case, he's an onus.
You're right. I mean, he might be an onus, but nevertheless, I mean, he's an onus. Okay. You could create an onus. He's definitely, he'd be an onus if he wasn't. Right, that's true. I wasn't following the beginning of the conversation, but...
Because he was saying that the boy knows that that he can't get hana from this Rebbe. And so now there should be a mitzvah of chinuch not to give the boy something that the boy knows he's not allowed to get. I said, maybe the boy doesn't know that he was muter hana from this Rebbe. The law doesn't know. And he said, how could you make an isra on somebody that they don't know about?
Okay, so my point is, what's the question of chinuch here? What is that chinuch question? How does that work with the halacha of Bez Mitzvah Nafrisha? So where does that question...
Does it make a difference if Katnach and Levelis is 6 years old or 12 and a half years old?
So you want to know whether there's a chiluk in that, that only applies to a certain age, but above that there's mitzvahs chinuch, and therefore that doesn't apply. That's where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Ran Shita in that when we learned that those who use in Yevamos, those who are reviewing Yevamos?
I don't remember. I do remember learning this issue, but I don't remember.
We're in the Ran right now, right? And the Ran asks the question, and you're saying that you don't hear what the question is because, you know, if the din of Ein Bez Mitzvah Lafrish doesn't apply to every cotton, so that's the answer, right? Right, so that's we have to just do some research and review on that. Right, I mean, is that what you were assuming that?
I don't understand how chinuch fits in with this Ran.
Oh, so I mean, the Ran's quoting the Gemara, so it's not really the Ran's responsibility here, right? You have to you really want to know the sugya, right, over there.
But he's making a chiluk between whether you give it to them or whether they take it themselves.
Right.
He's making that chiluk.
That chiluk exists kipshuti in the sugi over there. Now I think your question is that the whole issue, right? You're coming with a source that the whole issue only really is to a certain age, but someone who's still a cotton, this whole halacha doesn't apply. It is mitzuvah lafrisha if he's at the age of chinuch. Huh? Yes. That's what your question is. Okay, yes. Okay. So I'm saying that's what we have to check the sources on this aloha in the sugyus in Yevamos where we had the sugyu. Alright. Mm-hmm. Okay, but you're touching on something, but that is a reminder for us that we need constant chazorah to be sharp.
I mean, why are you teaching the child Torah? You teach the child Torah because you. I mean, he's a katan. He's not mechuyev in limudat Torah.
Okay, these are all things that you have to see the sugi over there for, right? You know, you're raising good points, but without seeing the ikra sugi itself, then you know we'd be you know missing essentially in this topic.
Do you remember what dachatan? No,
unfortunately, I can't even tell you that.
Yeah, okay.
Right, I'm sure you. Yeah, I'm sure you can
look it up. I'll Google it.
Your footnotes. No, I'm sure that you could find your footnotes over here somewhere, in Parshim, which will touch on this point. Yeah. So let's just get back. We just need to land over here. That's all. Okay. So we're in the Gemara. The Gemara talked about cotton. But we wanted to get to that point, to the first point that Rabbi raised, which really Shlomo already touched on before. Yeah. So let's hear.
It's Yevamos Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Kid.
Very good. Ooh.
Okay.
Sure.
So let's see. So the Mishnah is speaking about where the mother was a cotton. Okay, so let's hear the Mishnah. Right? On that the Mishnah is telling us that the Gemara tells us that the reason why it's awesome is because it's a schar shimur. Now, like this. Now, question is, who's being Nana, right? This is what we wanted to see over here, right? Who's being Nana, right? Right, it was Mader, the cotton, right? Mm-hmm. The cotton can have Hano. And by teaching him, but that's the Ran said, that's the Safinan Biadayim, right? What is the Hano? What is Hano over here?
That you didn't charge.
Right?
And it's Harshimur.
Right. So now, who is the one who is obligated for the Harshimur?
Right? You have to say it's the cotton.
Right, the Chara, if the father is the one who has the Chiv,
Right. Michael, the father, that he doesn't have to pay today. So you're giving
hana
to the father, but the kid is the one and can't get
hana from you. So like this. So this is what we discussed then, that actually, what is the hana? Is the hana the mechila of the payment? Is that what the hana is? Or the hana is really the service, getting the service, and the service has a price, has a value, and getting the service for free, right?
A payable service.
Right. Yeah.
That was the issue with the way Shlomo was saying it. So now we have really two issues that are pointing toward that understanding of it.
Yeah.
If we go with Shlomo's understanding of Schar Bittel, and now the issue that you're bringing up, because why would a Katan pay for his Schar Shimur? So he's going to pay somebody to guard him so that he doesn't do things that he wants to do.
Well, and now
when he's mochel and he got something.
Well, see, like this, we're actually talking about who's the sky, right? Whether, right? So that is what one has to think about: who's receiving the service, right? On that end of it. Maybe that you could also think about that. Right? You know, is the child getting the service, or maybe the parents getting the service? But it's mivuyir over here that akapanim, but the child is the one that's the isra hano over here. He's mad to the child, so the hano over here is to the child. So if the hano is the payment, so we'll have to say that the initial mechayiv really over here is to the child. This that the father is paying it is only a second step. It's the fact that he's taking over the responsibilities of the child, but the initial mechayiv is to the child. And if it's the shimer, the service itself, then we'd have to understand that the service is to the child, which definitely could be. And that the service the child, and then therefore if he's not being paid for, see, he's getting the service for free, and that's what the hana would be.
What's the actual hana? I mean, I can understand the parent gets hana that their child isn't getting into trouble. The hana for the kid, I mean, he wants to get into trouble, so you're not saying, but maybe you're helping him to do something. You're giving him chinuch in a certain sense that he's not. I mean, or maybe you're saving him from hurting himself. Yeah, you have to say that.
All of the above, right? Okay. Right.
There's two parts of he. You say he wants. There's the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, and the he Yetzer Tov wants structure. He wants somebody to guard him.
But that's what I was saying. Is that called hana? To help somebody with their midos. If somebody's mutar hana from you and you help them with their midos, is that called hana? That was what was bothering me a little bit. That's why maybe coming onto this that you physically protected him from hurting himself. I don't know. I mean, do you disagree? Do you think that it is hana to help somebody with their midos?
If a person pays, let's say, to go on a drug program, he wants the drugs, but he wants to have the authority to.
People pay coaches or therapists to try to improve themselves, it's a payable thing. I would think it's worth payment.
Okay. I hear
what you're saying.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Looks like we might have to hold over here. And they're getting a little bit later than I expected, even though it was sort of in the middle of things. Okay, Bokshan, we really have the opportunity, that every line to uncover the hidden diamonds. So I feel that whatever every line that we learn is something which benefits us in the present, and I feel that it's really a help in the future, because it's really developing our skills, opening our minds in how we learn any piece of the Gemara. So in the future, we will benefit from all the past shiurim.
Well, what's the point of teaching the child Torah anyway? Is it for chinuch that the child that he should learn?